Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast for this 8th day of November. I am Paul White. Thank you for joining me on our journey, which today, if all goes well, will be the close of the third chapter of Galatians. We've been working on verses 15, now down through 29, for the last couple of weeks due to the fact that we're working through the Genesis stories. How do we get in Galatians from Genesis? Not just that they both start with G, but that actually had nothing to do with it, but because Genesis has brought us to the story of Abraham, and no one gives as good a New Testament commentary on Abraham and what he means to us as does the Apostle Paul, which seems fitting when you consider the fact that Paul is Saul of Tarsus, a highly educated man who would have known as much about Torah as any man probably on the planet of his day, no one more qualified to speak to the Jewish interpretation of Scripture than the Apostle Paul, and then to see Jesus on that road to Damascus, to have this revelation of who Christ is, to the point that he would change his own identity. He would start to refer to himself by his Greek name, to take on this new man, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus, a man he said was born out of season. In other words, a guy that was an apostle just born too late to have walked with the physical Jesus. And we get more from Paul than we do anyone else on how to reimagine, please hear that word, how to reimagine these Old Testament stories. They are no longer simply stories of Israel's history or stories of psychological principles. Those things are valuable. I get a lot out of both ways of looking at the Old Testament, but there's no greater way, in my opinion, than to read Jesus into these texts to see him as the fulfillment. And we really learn how to do this first from the Lord Jesus, who shows the disciples on the road to Emmaus how to do this. But then we really get it in full detail with the Apostle Paul, who writes page after page after page of how to see Jesus in these stories. He concludes this great argument in Galatians 3 with the 29th verse. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you will connect this verse backward to a verse from the earlier, from the midpoint of the chapter, verse 16, where he says to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He doesn't say to seeds as of many, but as of one, to your seed who is Christ. According to verse 16, Paul says that the promise God made to Abraham was not to seeds, meaning the promise God made to Abraham was not to his actual kids or his actual grandkids or his actual great-grandkids. And let me just say it bluntly. According to Galatians 3:16, the promise God made to Abraham was to his seed, not to his children, not to the quote-unquote Jewish people, not to Israel, but to seed, singular, Jesus Christ. Now, connect that to the final verse of Galatians 3, verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, not seeds, seed, singular, and heirs according to the promise. So Paul inserts everyone into the position of heir of the promise of God by Christ. He drops the plural seeds. It's no longer people who are recipients of the promise of God, not a people group, not a race, not a culture, not even a theology, not a religion, but those who are faithful to Christ, he said, that's the seed to whom the promises are made. So tomorrow, when we jump back into the Genesis narrative, We've got all this. Well, we're not going to do that tomorrow. We're actually going to go to a different spot in the New Testament to work more on this for sort of round out the commentary. But as we work on that Genesis narrative, you can begin to insert yourself into the story because you've inserted Christ. You don't insert yourself into the story so the story makes sense. You insert yourself into the story because Christ has been inserted into the story. And since you are in Christ, you are, by default, inserted into the story so that you can become co-inheritors of who he is. Here's how I want to end today, and I gave myself enough time to do this. A few days ago, I told you that I've gleaned a lot from the David Bentley Hart translation of the New Testament I consider David Bentley Hart to be. He's an Eastern Orthodox scholar of religion. He's a fellow at the Notre Dame Institute for Advanced Study. He's held positions at various universities. He's probably one of the world's foremost experts on Greek. And he wrote, he recently, just a couple, a few years ago, put out a translation of the New Testament that I find quite valuable. I want to read to you today from Galatians 3, the 15th verse through the 29th verse. These are the verses you and I have worked on for a couple weeks now, all right? And I'm just going to, no commentary on my part, I'm just going to read it. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through the end of the chapter, that's through the end of chapter 29, from David Bentley Hart's translation of the New Testament. Brothers, I am speaking in human terms. All the same, once a human covenant has been ratified, no one nullifies or amends it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It does not say, and to the seeds, as in the plural, but as in the singular, instead, and to your seed, who is the anointed. And I say this, the law, having come into being 430 years afterward, does not revoke a covenant previously ratified by God, thus abolishing the promise. For if the inheritance comes from law, it no longer comes from a promise. But God graced Abraham with it by a promise. Why then the law? Ordained by angels in an intermediary's hand, it was given as a supplement on account of transgressions till such time as the seed to whom it was promised should come. Now, the intermediary does not belong to one party, and yet God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Let it not be. For if a law had been given that was capable of imparting life, righteousness really would have come from the law. But the Scripture imprisoned all things under sin, so that the promise, from the faithfulness of Jesus the Anointed, might be given to those having faith. But before faith came, we were held under guard, under law, kept imprisoned for the faith that was about to be revealed. Thus the law has become our custodial guide to the anointed, so that we might be proved righteous from faithfulness. But the faith having come, we are no longer under a custodial guide. For you are all God's sons through the faithfulness within the anointed one Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into the anointed have clothed yourselves in the anointed. There can be neither Judean nor Greek. There can be neither slave nor free man. There cannot be male and female. For you are all one in the anointed one Jesus. But if you are the anointed's, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to a promise. Tomorrow, I want to get into a question, a good question that came in via our question email line, ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. You can question us if you have something. This question regards how we deal with the law as given because of the transgressions man to man. Someone asked a good question from Romans. We're going to deal with that before we move on to more in the New Testament. See you then. God bless.